words will get on your way, Lord. If you must get on your knees, oh pray. The Bible of Jesus will save the day. The moonlight is clean. If you scrub it good with guns and gasoline, we could save the world. As you go, and in the model of the world that I see, I've on everyone's models but me. The morning is clean. If you scrub it good with guns and gasoline, we could save the world. Nothing's obscene if we only close our eyes.
Yeah. Alright, so listen. I'm just gonna tell you. Should we start?
I mean,
well, conversation about furniture?
Sure.
I think people would be really engaged with our furniture discussion we're about to have. Welcome to Ghostbee, episode 42? Two. Okay.
42?
How do you know?
Yeah.
I knew it was 40 something.
In the 40s, yeah.
We have a special guest today. They're all special.
Each in their own
Way, right?
In their own way.
A virgin.
What?
What?
To the podcast.
Oh.
Thank you.
Sam Bredehawk.
Mr. Yeah. Oh, sir. Right? Isn't he been knighted?
Have you been knighted?
Yeah.
God, wow.
Did you guys not look at my Wikipedia page?
We didn't.
Jeez.
We knew you, Weston knew you were a podcast virgin. Are you a podcast virgin? Is that accurate? Just a ghost
version.
A ghost version. Okay.
You're still scratching your head. Like, you don't quite understand the concept.
Or maybe my head is just itchy.
We haven't had a lot of first-timers recently.
No.
It's been a while.
We were kind of...
Like playing the hits.
Playing the hits, going back through just the catalog of, like...
Of weirdos.
What would be easy to do? Who's, like... Who's a weird...
Who we know...
Who's a weirdo that we know will show up with limited... lead time.
Yeah.
Because we've had... Sometimes people cancel on us.
What? No, yeah. Sometimes... Yeah, comics. I know that's hard
comics,
to believe.
Comics, not people.
Yeah.
Comics.
Right, yeah, that's important
comics
to clarify.
Cancel on us some of the time.
No, whenever we've had actual people on, they've been prompt.
Oh, they've been on time, enthusiastic, prepared.
That's surprising to me. These notes. Comics love to hear their own voice on
comics
things.
Love to hear their own voice, but comics also, and I don't know how much of it is the general genetic makeup of a comic, how much of it is a disdain that they're carrying for Weston and/or myself.
You stressed me like way more.
Well,
I think we should do a poll. Let's do a Sports Center inflate gate or deflate. What is it? Deflate gate?
Deflate gate, yeah.
We'll do that type of poll and just get, like, who do you hate more?
Who they dislike more.
We don't phrase it in a positive. Like, who do you like more?
Uh-uh.
Who do you hate more?
Who's worse on it? From episode to episode.
If you could choose to remove one co-host.
I say we share the shit eating, though. It's like, you know, normally if one of us is tanking, the other one at least looks that much better by comparison.
Yeah.
You know?
I would say we...
But we both have had ones where obviously one or the other of us was dragging ass.
Or drank way too much beforehand.
Yeah.
Or,
uh-huh.
Yeah.
Or, like, is sick and has decided, I'm going to soldier through this, but just by drinking whiskey and getting high on top of my illness. And
I committed
I'm
to
sure,
a podcast. I'm going to do a podcast.
I'm sure that'll it'll pan out.
Yeah. It's been an interesting experiment.
It has.
Podcasting.
Yeah.
And comedy.
Welcome.
Thank you. Happy to be here.
It was a long journey.
What is comedy to get or
here.
Podcast?
You took a bus to get here?
I did.
It was a long journey.
Now, what happened? Two buses?
Yeah. Wow. I had to transfer, yeah.
Wow.
I think we're also back-to-back bus riders to the podcast. I think we should just, that's the new rule, you have to take the bus.
I'm sorry. They're like, I have a car. Yeah, but we prefer if you commute here by bus.
Yeah.
Guys, just, there's a stop, like...
That way, when we start right the podcast, we'll have something to talk about.
Right?
Bus ride
what
over.
Happened to you on the bus?
Yeah, there's this guy that started chanting to me in Latin. As far as I could tell, that's what it was. It just sounded like a Gregorian chant. And, like, at the stop, before we got on the bus, he actually paused, like... 6 inches away from my face, not actually looking right at me, but just like slightly off to one
side. The middle
distance, yeah, yeah. And was just chanting, just dead glassy eyes. And then once we got on the bus, he got in the back and then kept doing it. And then he came up and just had this super normal chit-chatty conversation with the driver.
He's a regular.
That's yeah, great. No, that no, is great. To have a crazy switch that you can flip on or off yeah. and be like, oh, I know this guy.
I'm what? Not sure if it was up to him or what, but...
Time out on the madness. I want to check in
he was also,
with this guy.
Oh, this is a very important detail. He was wearing, what do you call them? Like, not headphones, but like... ear protection that like people at airports do when they're like taxiing planes. He was wearing those.
So
the
like
sound,
yeah.
sound blocker
yeah,
things?
Yeah.
Blocker things.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, they weren't
that's
headphones.
The technical
like
term.
There was no cord or
there's
anything.
There's no cord, just sound
the,
blocker
like,
things.
Those are the sound blocker things.
I don't know if it was because he wanted to block out the real voices and just keep the ones inside or what.
Maybe he's really irritated by Latin Gregorian chanting.
yeah,
he's
you can't.
Like, he's
yeah.
like, I know that I'm gonna do this, but I fucking
hate it.
Can you give us just a little example
of?
Can you just try and replicate any of his chant that he did?
God,
just
I wish.
For the people at home, like, just a vague idea. Of,
the best I could do is just like the Monty Python chant and Holy Grail is just like Pie su domine. Domus Requiem.
But he didn't hit his head with a board.
No, he did not. I think okay. that might have happened before the chanting. Maybe that's what caused it.
Maybe he hit himself a couple times real quick.
Yeah.
With the board.
Just
and that's why he was glassy-eyed and looked at the middle distance right over.
Yeah, he thought he was looking at me.
Do you think that maybe he was looking at, like, an angel or a demon on your shoulder and conversing with it?
Maybe. Yeah.
I mean...
So when you're in this situation, are you frightened? Like, what's going through? Are you like... What, is
I
this
just,
motherfucker gonna
you're a seasoned public transit.
Yeah, like, I'm just wondering, what's the range of emotions that are...
Typically, you just kind of don't acknowledge them, which isn't a nice thing to do, but I didn't know what else to do.
So you just go, right. Okay.
I didn't even do that.
Yeah.
I just kind of... I stared over his shoulder as he stared over mine... But I wasn't chanting. I said nothing.
I would check for yourself on missed connections on Craigslist
I'm
tomorrow.
I'm so going to do that.
We stared over each other's shoulders. I quietly
waiting for the
chanted at you. Wait. I couldn't hear if you reciprocated because I was wearing those noise blocker things.
You ever see other comics on the bus?
Just Josh Disney is the only one. He was on his way to meet you, I believe, and Pat Bell. I guess you guys were going somewhere.
Oh, down to Boulder.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But, yeah, I was on my way to Dave Bublitz's show at Pulcinella's.
Oh, yeah.
Which I hope sticks around, but I'm worried it might not.
Don't say but. I'm on the next one. Don't say but.
Oh, no.
But
well,
right before you.
No. I'm sure the next one's going through. I felt really bad. Like, I was just going to just watch a show and enjoy it, but he put me on the show. And honestly, I think it would be fine if he just could get the show pushed, like, start time 1 hour later. Because there were, like, families there with, like, the really, like,
oh, they'll learn.
Like
they'll learn.
5 or 6 year olds.
Word will spread.
Seven? Yeah, seven.
Oh.
And, yeah, so, like, just doing my best to kind of edit my set, just because I didn't want, like, Dave to lose the room because the management was getting complaints from, like, families, which is right. kind of understandable.
Nick's had an experience of having to go clean kind of last minute when we went to Kansas.
Like, oh, yeah.
By the way, guys, we can't say any swear words tonight, like zero. And I just saw Dan, like, this is not...
Yeah, Dan freaked out.
I think I remember him, like, yeah, he posted something on Facebook about that.
And Nick had to do his, he did, he acted like a dog shitting while people were eating.
Yeah, but I acted like a dog pooping is the main difference, yeah. As, actually, yeah, I even used defecating, you know.
The second P, and it was pooing.
It was, well, yeah, it was funny because there were certain moments where, like, saying it at some points in time where I was like, yeah, that's actually a little bit funnier. I was like, I like poop right there. But then it's like, but when the handcuffs have been taken off, I might use poop some of the time again. But it's also made me really appreciate the word shit, you know, and the sound of the word shit. And how effective and clipped it is, as opposed to...
It's, yeah, it's a sharp word.
Excreting fecal matter.
you could almost probably do a more graphic word for a dog.
Oh, yeah, just, like, or just get really scientific.
Gus, or really studied Gus when he's taking a shit. You could put some good words to that.
You should clear that with Gus before you do that.
Sphincter expanded and contracted like an evil magical eye.
It is that.
You just heard Sauron.
And all of a sudden, a gentle cascade, if you will, of bodily waste slowly began to tumble out of the sphincter and onto the grass over which he stooped.
I think tumble is almost too strong of a word there.
I don't know. I've seen some
tumble was. I was trying to think of
like, because I like cascade. I like the idea of it being a gentle shit.
Okay.
Like this really peaceful...
Yeah, it doesn't...
Like soft-serve ice cream.
Yes! Uh-huh. That's exactly it.
It gently cascaded from the rectum, almost as though soft-serve ice cream.
I would say it sadly slumped from the rectum.
Just, ooh, yeah, and that's got alliteration.
Yeah, that's a good call.
I'll be releasing my first book of poetry in the spring sometime. Late spring. Look for it in late spring.
Jack Martin.
Listen, don't ever feel sorry for that dog, Pugs, because they do this thing. We've nicknamed it fish farting.
Fish farting?
It's expressing of the anal gland.
Yeah, basically what happens is they have glands, I guess. Whatever the fuck that is. Inside of their asshole that stores up an oil that smells like just the rotting
it's worse carcass than the of poop. A fish. It's, yeah, like, it's like if this gland just absorbs
it's evil
some of the
shit
badness
smell
of the
concentrate.
Poop.
It just doesn't go away.
It's yeah, like, no, it stains.
It's like
glass.
The oil in one of the vape pens. Like,
right.
It's like pure concentrate.
Wow.
It's pure concentrate.
I'm really
going
to take second thought before I ever hit a vape pen again.
And what he'll do is he'll be like, the whole night, he'll just bug you, like, paw at your leg. He's like, wants to get in your lap. And finally you break down. And you're like, all right, buddy, get up here. And he'll get up into
come
your
on up, buddy.
And then after, like, 30 minutes, it just punches you in the face. You smell. And you're like, oh, get the fuck up. And you shoo him off of your lap. And then you look down, and there'll always be a half-dollar size wet spot on, like, a pillow,
it's like
blanket.
A
blanket.
Yeah, it's just a greasy little stain.
Okay, we're done here. Thank you for having me on the podcast. I've enjoyed my time.
I think that's a new record for us.
I am going to go get the bus back home.
We've thrown couch pillows away. We've had to burn, you know, just like throw those pants
out. Yeah, because that's got to seep in.
It doesn't wash out.
No. Yeah,
we've salvaged
no some
things.
You know?
No, I mean, he's a lovable little scumbag, but the fact that he has a highly concentrated anal oil.
We were at some friend's house one time, and he was sitting on Beth's lap, and his asshole was pressed right up against the side cushion of the couch. And they went upstairs, and she looked at me and just whispered, he fish farted on the couch. And I go, put the pillow over and let's go. And we got up, we're like, oh, we better run out. Yeah. Because getting out of that.
No, is that someone else's house?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, like, that's amazing.
Let's get out.
Go.
They discovered it. They probably burned the couch.
They're like, something terrible happened to this couch. Something absolutely inhumane and probably not of this world. They probably called an exorcist. They're like, oh, we have this stain. We have this really obscene stain. We think
our cat just
could be a portal to hell.
Our cat just raises its hackles and hisses at the couch now. We don't know what's wrong.
If it was cartoons, it would have like a vortex type thing just emanating from it.
Right.
Like
just
what
a green squirrel that actually goes over, hooks people by the nose, and drags them to the couch. They're like, no!
No, please, no!
You can't do this again!
I mean, he's a great dog.
But, oh yeah, he's super lovable. But
I have to admit, I'm really not a dog.
But
person.
Do not let him sit in your lap. That's
no.
He said earlier. He was like, "I'm not a dog person, but I really like this dog because he feels like a cat."
Yeah, that was actually that's pretty much
verbatim.
He's the size of a cat. He's surprisingly soft like a cat.
I don't know if you've met Sam before, people listening. But if you found out he was a cat person, you'd be like, yeah, totally.
I can see that. Look, that guy looks super lonely.
I bet too big of a dog would maybe scare him. It's kind
of
like...
It's not so much scared. My thing with pets is its scale of disgusting. So, like, cats and dogs are equally gross, but cats are gross on a smaller scale, typically. That's kind of why I'm into Gus, because he's small.
No, they shouldn't piss in the house and stink your house. Yeah.
Well, I mean, yeah. Yeah, that's fair. Unless you
cats
have an outdoor
cat. Cats off up their hairballs. I mean,
right.
If you're really trying to tell
me... You can't let pregnant women or babies around cats. That should tell you something about cats.
Maybe that's why...
People
like,
lose their minds. That's cat scratch fever? Is it becomes this really toxic exchange and they just... lose their minds?
Okay.
It's like people having 7 guinea pigs just running around their house. Like, no, they're fine.
They're fine. I strapped them together.
They won't let you hardly ever, but you can try to pet them.
They do recoil and cringe and, like, they hate it.
They might claw you.
They hate it, but
I
go for it.
Spray you with shit out of their butt. And...
Maybe you guys have that issue. I don't know. Cats dig me.
See, I get along
I like
really
cats,
well with dogs.
They're just dicks. Maybe that's why I just
cats,
like them.
Yeah,
yeah, I kind of enjoy that. I don't know. I always had cats. I've never owned a dog, but I've had cats like more or less my entire life. So maybe it's just a big bias. Yeah.
You know, once you get the like, because my mom was really severely allergic to cats, and I'm a little bit allergic to cats, and so whenever I see a cat, I'm just like. Motherfucker.
What a dandruff. You put it on, motherfucker.
You
want
to go?
It is
like
bad dandruff, little bitch.
And I've always. And on some level, I have regretted that because, like, being, like, doing comedy or theater or this or that, or just liking to go out and drink or anything, it's like, well, I couldn't really. I haven't really been in a lot of situations that would be great to have a dog. And it's like, oh, man. If I wasn't potentially allergic and/or hated cats, they have sort of the independent streak to where it could be like, hey, there's food and shit, I'll see you later.
Yeah, I enjoy that aspect. They're low maintenance.
I think the takeaway from this episode is if you're looking to run into Sam Brendhoff, just check out one of those new cat cafes. He'll probably be there
writing some jokes. What are cat cafes?
Drinking coffee, petting cats, you know?
He's freaking out.
Yeah. Dude, yeah, what are cat cafes?
You haven't heard of these?
No, what the
there's
hell?
Like
where is one?
There's one in Denver. There's a cafe
that's a little
that
out of my way.
Is
yeah,
just full of cats. And you can go in and get coffee and pet cats, you know?
Dude. I'm
can't
moving.
You
I
adopt
go.
The cats from there?
Patrick Scott told a joke last night. Maybe. That'd be a great. It'd be
they
more
should.
Respectable.
And it was like, right. well,
plus, then
was
they
like
could
a
cycle through
society
yeah.
kind of thing with a lot of cats.
And then they can
and
cycle
you just buy
through
coffee
them.
And hang
hey,
out with the
now
cat.
This is a no pressure situation. Just come get a coffee and see if you like one of the
just
cats.
Just hang out with the cats.
Just hang out with the
and
cats.
Be like, this tabby right here. I've had 2 cups of coffee. And he and I,
it's like speed dating so well. With cats.
You see, but dogs, it's almost like
you have to do that at
the
bar.
It should be a beer bar.
You go get drunk and pick out a new dog.
And this
I'm walking
rocks.
Home with my new dog tonight,
this
guys.
This dog rocks.
Yeah, I think
dog gets me, guys. This dog gets me.
So, yeah, I think with cats, it should be you smoke a bowl and then hang out with the cats. Because that's my thing with cats is like. I like them because the highest energy they get still isn't that much.
Well, the problem is, and I guess it's actually good, is that you'll find out because if you're stoned, you're more likely to want to pet the cat.
Exactly.
And then you're going to find out what that cat's tolerance for getting pet is.
Yes.
I almost slapped a cat a couple months ago. I feel almost bad about
it. Have you ever thrown a cat? Like up in the air?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And dropped one?
Oh, yeah. I've tossed a cat.
I've done that, too, and I like them, so.
I've tossed a cat.
I
think if everybody's honest, like, it's not a, you know, it's proud of saying it.
Well, and they land on their feet, you know?
I mean, yeah. Hypothetically.
They should. You know. If it's a cat worth its...
But isn't that the challenge when you're a young boy is like...
To see if you can topple a cat? Yeah.
All right. No challenge will go unaccepted. They say cats always land on their feet. We'll see.
Have you heard that Stephen Wright joke where it's, I tried to commit suicide and I jumped out my, like, 8th-story floor window. I just landed on my feet and there was... 2 cats next to me, and one of them turned to the other and said, "See, that's how you do that."
Oh, Stephen Wright, he is
a joy.
Hey, so yeah, let's talk comedy just briefly.
Sure.
Maybe
the cats.
What do you like? Who are some comics you like?
Let's stray away from the cat.
I'm kind of
stray.
See I'm on fire tonight.
Woo!
Yeah.
He's gonna win the poll.
It was 10 seconds too late, but I'll edit out that part, and boom, it's gonna be so tight. Like, damn, he's quick.
That would be solid. I'm kind of weird with, like, so, like, comics that I most admire and sort of model myself after aren't the ones I enjoy most. So, like, the ones I kind of go after style-wise or, like, stuff like Marc Maron, like, guys who mostly talk about themselves, basically.
Marc Maron owns a lot of cats.
Yeah,
he does.
He has
a person, that's
yeah,
right.
Yeah.
He's a cat person.
Exactly. So, yeah, stuff dots. Like that. But the comedy, like, I enjoy most is usually, like, absurdist stuff, so, like, Eugene Merman, Stephen Wright a little bit, stuff like that. Like, that's what makes me laugh the most, but...
Stephen Wright is great, man.
He's so wonderful. But yeah, it's not really stuff that I manage to write very well.
We were talking about writing before we kicked off the podcast, and you were saying that you kind of like that for you when inspiration struck, it was not too hard for you to churn out a joke from that.
Usually not. Yeah, if once I think of a premise, which unfortunately is pretty rare, I can usually just sit down and like. My process is usually I just come up with tags and then kind of weave them together into a full bit.
Okay.
So, like, it's literally I'll write the funny line, the next funny line, the next funny line, and then try and reorder them and fill it out a little bit.
So when you say that, you know, inspiration doesn't strike super often or as often as you'd like it to, like, what actually is it? Experiences you go have, or is it just random thoughts that pop into your head, or, I mean...
It's usually kind of random thoughts. Like, I will constantly have stuff, like, things will happen, I'll be like, I need to write a bit about this, but it's so rare that I can actually kind of sit down and do that. So, typically, it's just a random thought that'll pop into my head, and I'll be like, I'll jot that down, and then within 5 minutes, I've got 2 minutes... But that happens very rarely.
I think that's tough. I mean, how do you do that, Weston?
I was just talking with Jacob last night about writing and organizing and all that, and it just changes. I think you go through different times. Like, there's really times where I need it written out and look at it. I need to, or other times where I'm like, I just want to record it and listen to it.
Right.
And go from that. I don't know, man. I haven't figured my style out. I was really listening to. I always think it's. We saw Patrick Scott last night, and he was showing us what he's doing. He has this. It's like a bigger moleskin, like a full size, you know, sheet of paper moleskin.
Okay.
And he's doing the thought bubbles that we learned in like third grade. Like, here's the.
I've seen a couple of people who write jokes that I've run into, like one or two other people.
And he has this full page of just like, let's brainstorm this thing. Let's go every direction. Huh. And not like. So I had my thing all lined up, and I was telling Jacob about it on the way down there. And then Patrick showed us that, and I was like, fuck, maybe I should do that.
Never even occurred to me until the first time somebody showed me, like, well, here's my idea, Webb.
Like, look how many ideas he has.
Yeah.
So I was like, Jesus, that's a lot of ideas.
Oh, you guys want to know the German word for, like, thought webs?
It's a Vorteagle.
It means
a Vorteagle? Yeah, fuck!
No, dude, here's the best
new
part.
New tattoo.
Here's what it literally means.
Vorteagle.
Dude, here's what it literally means. It means word hedgehog. Because, like, you have the middle thing and then the little spikes coming out. Like, go Germans, damn it.
A Vorteagle.
Yeah.
That could be the title of this. We might have to ask you about spelling.
Okay, yeah.
No, it really fascinates me, though, how different comics come up with their stuff. And that's why I love seeing people for the first time and just, and then, like, kind of learning. Seeing them do it a few times and seeing what they're doing, what they're trying to do. Because that's really comedy, I think, to a certain extent, is the pros, you could see some of the pros. Like, the first time I heard Bill Burr or Louis C.K., I was like, that's incredible. But some people have really grown on me. And those are the ones who are like, oh, I get what they're doing.
Well, and it is interesting.
And that's where you really become like a fan of one person that a lot of people might not know.
Right.
Like, yeah.
Well, like a lot of pros, you can tell that they've figured out the rhythm, the style.
Right.
Any of these guys that are releasing an hour-long special on pretty much a yearly basis, it's clear, anybody at that point in time is generally in like a major industry city and getting plenty of time. But it's like, you must know that Louis C.K. has the equation that works best
for him.
For him.
Yeah. Yeah.
To a degree, as far as like where the idea comes from and how it develops. And, you know, I don't even know that it's like necessarily that you'd ever find one idea, you'd be like, oh, well, you know, my Vorteagles have been killing it, and this is the only way I'm ever going to write jokes again. You know, that, because that's like hamstringing yourself a little bit as well. So it's always curious to...
Some people, though, like, cause I just listened to a podcast with Bill Burr and Bill Simmons, and Bill Burr was really talking shop in comedy, even though it was like a sports podcast. And he was talking about him, and he named off a few others, but he said, I always write on stage. That's all I do. I only write on stage. And I am the complete opposite. Like,
well, and I feel...
I will prepare for a 5-minute open mic set verbatim by word and then go try to do exactly that, because that's what I think is funny. And the challenge is trying to figure out how to also be, because you're pretty.
I pretty loose. Much write,
yeah,
mostly on stage.
You're probably closer to what I am.
Yes,
where you have it all written out before. Yep. And
I, yeah, as I'm working a joke out over time, I'll rewrite it verbatim. Like, if I change something, just spur of the moment on stage, I will rewrite it with that one line changed.
Hmm.
Do you think it's a confidence in how funny you are?
I think part of it is, well, some of it is the comfortability on stage thing, because I was far more prepared and written when I'd been doing it for a briefer period of time, because it was like, because I was afraid of just hitting a blank, you know, having that tragic, really painful for everyone in the room moment of, And then, though, it's kind of like these ideas will strike. And I'll be like, holy shit. I mean, a lot of the times, I honestly do a great deal of writing in my head on the way to the venue or just before.
You do, man.
Because
you'll
wrap it up. I'll be like, there's this funny part, and then I'll have like a couple of like one or two phrases that I know will be gold. You know, like, you know, cascading fecal matter, for instance. if that was gonna be the thing, it'd be like, cascading fecal matter, that is just a beautiful little phrase. Now I need to get there and leave there. And so I kind of like, though, having the energy of the crowd and the energy to feed on. Because when I do write jokes verbatim, I kind of find myself shooting myself in the foot a little bit. Just because it's like, it doesn't give me enough time to react to whatever's really happening in the room there. And that's something I look at that, like, a comedian like Dan Jones can do that I can't do, which is go pretty seamlessly from material that is pretty nailed down into crowd work. You know, because for me, if the material is nailed down too much, then I'm just on that ride. And I'm firmly on those tracks, and it's hard to take any detours. Mm. Whereas Dan can hop off of the track of his joke, do his thing for a little bit, and then get back onto his prepared, written-out joke, and it's, like, seamless.
I was so confident in it, too, right? Yeah. It's like, he's like, yeah, Dan's one of those, and so Dan and I had a conversation during the whole, you know, filming of the documentary stuff, and he was like, you got to do more crowd work. And I was like, I'm not you. Mm-hmm. But I thought about it after we talked, and I was like, you know, he's really right. Like, that's what, if you listen to any comic, they're prepared to, like, engage or jump off. If the joke's bombing, it's like, or Dan will find, like, one person who's laughing out of the room.
Right.
Like, no one else. And he'll be like, oh, you like that way more than you're supposed to. We are definitely fucking tonight. Or, like, he has them ready.
And he has certain canned ones, and then he also comes up with new ones all the time. And so it's like, it's incredible. And I do chalk that up on some level to a certain amount of comfortability and confidence on stage.
Agreed.
Just because it's like, you're going to do one of two things. I actually wound up at this really cool thing. They're doing it at the Lyric last night, and it's totally not stand-up. But it's called the Story Swap. And it was great because it wasn't stand-up, and it was all these people that you would never see do stand-up. My favorite two of the night were this, like, pretty blonde girl in her mid-20s who would, like, you know, steer clear of stand-up, both as an audience member, you could tell by the friends she came with, and then this cute little old lady that was, like, almost 70. And
that's great.
And the theme, so every Story Swap, apparently they're going to do it at the Lyric Cinema every other month. And
you did something like that, wouldn't you?
I did. I told a story, and it's a story I've told before in stand-up, but I even tried to be like, remind myself. I was like, okay, well, this isn't stand-up, though.
Don't try,
like,
to be too funny.
Yeah, like, you can take some of the, like, canned heat off of it. You know, a little bit of, like, the, hey, all right, pop, pop, pop.
I'll be here all night for the next 3 minutes, everybody.
But it was this fascinating thing because you got to see people. The theme was Oopsie Daisy. So everybody who brought a story was supposed to bring a story
of
their own Oopsie Daisy. Well, so what it was is when you bought a ticket, they gave you, there was like a stack of slips of paper, too, and you wrote down your name and put it in a jar. And then, so then they just started pulling people out of the jar, pulling slips of paper out of the jar and be like, is Glenna such and such here? That was the little old lady's name. Glenna.
Glenna. Of course
and
it was.
Glenna told this wonderful story about missing her car registration and then accidentally putting the registration stickers on the wrong car and then driving her sister to the airport and bringing her over.
Dude,
and
it was like,
and her husband was a CPA, so she wanted to avoid him finding out about the late fees, and so she scrounged up cash from all of her spare purses around and it was like so endearing. And you know that one of her bored children heard the story over the phone while he was, like, channel flipping, or, you know, watching, like, a basketball game, and that the Bridge Club heard it and thought that it was a riotous, wonderful story. Glenna is never going to make it out to any of the open mics.
No.
You know, she was by no means an open micer.
We should go and recruit. We should go to this thing and recruit.
In this super charming old lady way, you know? But the thing was, too, though, was it wasn't nobody there was trying to do stand-up comedy. Yeah. And in fact, I went there, and then when it was my turn, I was trying to remind myself not to do stand-up comedy. And so it was all these people that happened to have a story that fit the theme and had heard about the thing, and some of the people were, like, nervous and shaking like leaves, you know, but nobody had notes or books or anything, but everybody told, like, a story.
Oh, just off the cuff, like they...
Well, you could tell that some people had, like...
Yeah, they prepared it a little bit. Still off the cuff.
One guy gave something that wasn't, like, so much a personal oopsie-daisy story. He almost gave something that was, like, an odd TED Talk about it, but... But that was kind of...
Let me tell you about Oopsie Daisies.
That was kind of the cool thing, though. He ended his speech with a list of things that... Not reading off of the list, but he was like, and before I came here, I looked up a list on Wikipedia of all of the things that have been invented on accident. And then he started listing off, like, just these accidental inventions out of Oopsie Daisies. And so it was so interesting that at the end, he's like,
there is no God.
God is dead. Thank you. That was my oopsie daisy. So it was this odd thing because it was like, come share a story. And the theme of the stories for this round of story swap is oopsie daisy. And then people in varying states of sobriety, of all sorts ages and demographics, telling stories that were sometimes insane and obscene and involved, you know, drugs and alcohol. And the first guy just told a story about...
All right, quick, Sam, off the cuff.
Give us an oopsie daisy.
Okay, yeah, I totally
tell us an oopsie daisy.
Totally. He's in there all the time.
Who doesn't, you know?
Yeah, no, definitely. All right. So I guess the best oopsie daisy I can come up with right now would be my first kiss.
It's already a great start.
Yeah, no doubt. So I was hanging out with this girl in my freshman dorm. Yes, that late. First kiss.
You had dorms in high school?
No. Yeah, thank you. That feels good, Weston. That doesn't hurt at all.
Okay. I'm sorry, I was going to totally be the good cop on this one. And you just jumped
right into the role of bad cop, didn't even need the prompt.
Didn't even need the prompt, but then it cracked me up, so I'm sorry, that undermined my good copness.
Yeah, no, you're a terrible cop.
Carry on, everybody has their own face.
Here's the look I saw on Nick's face. You're an asshole. But goddamn, that was funny. Very asshole-ish. That was like the extreme.
It was prime asshole.
Yeah, it was one of the finest examples of assholism
I've seen you do in months.
Yeah, normally when I'm being an asshole, it's just like, yeah, you're an asshole.
You're okay. You're okay.
He's like, holy shit, you went to another level.
So anyhow, okay.
Okay, so hanging out there.
Hanging out with the old lady.
Yeah. And,
what's the college? What's her name?
UNC, Rachel.
North Carolina?
No.
Good pedigree? Wait.
Yeah.
Golden Bears. Golden Bears.
Hell yeah.
UNC Greeley.
Indeed.
Greeley.
Yeah.
And, I don't remember it too well. We weren't even, like, drinking or anything. Should have been. God, that would have made that easier. So we're just hanging out, and, at whatever point I finally managed to get up the nerve to actually try and kiss her, I missed. And it wasn't just a simple miss. It wasn't like just slightly off to one side on her mouth.
Yeah.
Dead center, over nostrils, nose. Nailed it.
You kissed her on the nose.
Right on the nose. And
well,
it wasn't...
kind of sweet.
I know, it's endearing in a disgusting way.
Well, was it like super open mouth?
No, not especially. No, I wasn't gonna be doing that quite yet.
Because I mean, if you like licked a bunch of boogers out, that'd be pretty disgusting.
Bad. But
it's the classic. I closed my eyes too early on my first kiss.
I think that was
that's it.
That might have been it. I don't remember it.
I always just stare them down. When
dead eyes.
Nick never closes his eyes during kissing.
It's weird. Never. People ask me to some of the times, and then I pretend, but I'm just squinting at them real hard.
Even Gus complained about it one time.
Yeah. Like, on New Year's, I think. He's like, Gus was my New Year's kiss.
I know my eyes are real weird, but...
But come on.
That guy is psychotic.
He was kissing me the other day. Refused to close his eyes.
Yeah, that's my oopsie daisy story.
Well, that's a sweet, endearing oopsie daisy story.
Yeah, it's not too bad.
I mean, you know, and it too, like, everybody's first kiss should be terrible.
What's yours? No. What did you do at the show? What's your oopsie daisy
story? My oopsie daisy story is the story. I've told it a couple times.
Did they give you a light things. At all?
Well, so they basically, they said everybody has about 10 minutes, up to 10 minutes.
10 minutes?
Man, when's the next one? There, yeah.
Well, yeah, I was thinking, I was like, I got to be careful about when I tell comedians about this.
It's on a podcast.
I know. Well, you I'm also trying to promote it because it's a great thing that they got going.
You have a month to do a
and
topic?
It isn't people doing bits. It's like, you know, people telling, like, a story, you know? And,
yeah.
And so in that way, it's definitely...
Tell a story.
It's definitely present...
Again.
It's definitely, like, helpful.
Waste your time telling
a story. It's definitely helpful. So I did this story from a period of time when I was drinking way too much, hanging out a lot with Dan Jones and Brendan Birch, and drinking... Way too much.
The words a lot and Dan Jones and the same. That's always dangerous.
Oh yeah, I mean, I was like drinking with Dan Jones some of the times, several nights out of the week.
You should say regularly.
Yeah, regularly. I was dangerous. Regularly drinking with Dan Jones, and I was also weaning myself off of lithium at that point in time without the help
licking
of any doctors.
Bolts.
Well, no, just slowly stopping taking the pills as much as had been prescribed to me. Yeah, before I got to the 9 volts. And so after one such weekend of a lot of boozing, and I go to work, I feel like shit, as people often are forced to do. Yeah,
at a library.
Sitting there at the library, I just feel terrible. And then... I make it to lunch, and it's like, oh, thank God. I got to put some food in the system, you know, that'll get us. And for some weird reason, I get a hankering for curry. And so I go to a curry place, and it's curry buffet. And I put on a heaping helping of curry, and I just start shoveling it down. And then I feel a weird wave of heat pass over me. You know, at first I'm like, oh, yeah, curry, this is just what the doctor ordered. And then I feel a strange heat, and I just stop for a second. And I, like, put the fork down. I, like, put my plate down. I, like, just gently sip it like a Coca-Cola for a second. And then the heat transforms into the breaking of wind. And then, once the wind is broken, then it smells bad. And then after I'm, like, looking around trying to assess to see how far the scent is traveling, I think, wait a second. Did something else come out there? Too. Just
a little
bit.
Shit story.
I told the shitting my pants story.
You told the shitting your pants story.
It's an oopsie daisy. I was like,
that's,
you know, I did say too. I was like, so I was drinking excessively,
as
well as weaning myself off of lithium carbonate, and so one could even say that this entire phase of my life was a little bit of an oopsie daisy. And then I say, and then it's like, and then I've gone to this curry place, deciding on curry. Another oopsie daisy. And then, you know, I went
in. You did that at Crazy Carl's.
I did. But that time I told it super crunchy. Of like,
did you turn your back?
I didn't turn my back, but I did go and, like pretend to undo my fly. Like when I'm checking at the urinal to see if there's any poop in my pants. And there is some poop in my pants. And then I did use, and the one thing I used that was like the tagline that I developed one of the times when I told this joke at stand-up, but it was still relevant enough. And as I was thinking about it, of like, oh, yeah, because they were like, oopsie daisy. And I was like, what of the stories do I have? And I was like, oh, shitting your pants at lunchtime. Yeah. That's still the oopsie daisy. That's still the primo oopsie daisy that I have for these people, including little Glenna, and who loved it. By the way,
oh, no
she
doubt.
And her
she
husband were cracking up during the, but I was like, you know, and it's funny thing is there was very little poop in my pants.
Mm-hmm.
I barely pooped my pants.
Was it a cascade?
But pooping your pants is sort of an all or nothing deal.
Any amount of poop.
Here's a quick check to see, hey, everybody, is there any poop in your pants? If yes, even if it's just a tiny, tiny amount of poop, you pooped your pants.
Yeah. Like, there's no coming back.
There's no
from
like,
that.
There's
yeah.
no middle ground of pooping your pants.
Jason's it's, refuse.
It's
his
entirely
refuse.
Yeah. It's entirely a binary of a situation. Mm. There's either poop in your pants or there isn't. Mm. And so I told that as my oopsie daisy, and it was good, honestly. Like, and I went right before a girl that told a really funny story, and then Glenna went after that. And then there was one other guy, actually, Ben, the guy who owns the Lyric. He went and he told the story. And it was funny, though, because on some level, I think I told the most shameful story of the whole Oopsie Daisy night. And it was also, though, it was like, it was, I thought that I did everybody else who told their story after me a favor, because telling a story about shitting your pants as an adult, that's really throwing yourself down on the tracks, you know? Mm. And so I think a lot of people, specifically for that prompt, because this one woman had this great story, and she said right at the beginning, she was like, oh, well, I'm a glass of wine in. And the fact that she even had to preface that, I was like, okay, this is going to be good. After she told the story, I wish she was a glass and a half when she told the story. Because you could still see her, like, at moments kind of checking herself and being like, oh shit, I'm sharing this in front of a room full of people.
Yeah.
You know, because it wasn't stand-up comedy. But it wasn't prepared, written jokes. Again, one guy was clearly not super comfortable talking about his own experience, and so he backed off of it a little bit, you know? But, yeah, it's a cool format. I guess the next one is in late March. Because they're going to be doing it every other month.
When do you find out the prompt, or how do you
I that? Think if you like their page on Facebook.
Awesome.
That'd probably be
That sounds like a lot of fun.
And so,
I'm sad I missed the Oopsie Daisy one. Could have fleshed out that story better.
Yeah, well, and that's the interesting thing is, you know, it's like they give you, you know, more or less, it's probably a month or a month and a half or something when they decide on the theme.
Yeah,
and so it gives you good time, and it does. It practices the mechanics of just straight storytelling, which is really useful to everybody, mm-hmm. but particularly useful, you know, to stand-ups. Like, I could see a lot of utility, because it's like, hey, don't fucking do stand-up there. Otherwise, they'll realize a bunch of stand-ups are infiltrating story swap night, and they'll look people over, and they'll be like, are you a fucking comic? Get out of here.
You
don't ruin story swap.
Well, I would have told a story about the time I accidentally hit a kid in the head with a rock on purpose.
Well, excuse me,
you
accidentally
told me that story. I love that story.
Yeah.
Oh, that is a great oopsie-daisies.
Like, yeah, oopsie-daisies. No, I don't know, I just thought, I'm going to throw a rock at that kid that's like a half a block away. There's no way I can hit him. And as soon as I let go, I was like, nope, that's hitting him in the head. Oh, that hit him in the head. Whoopsie daisies. And I thought I got away with it. I was in sixth grade, right?
Right.
And this kid was in kindergarten.
You destroyed someone's
You are
life.
On grade A asshole.
Yeah, no,
your asshole is firing on all cylinders tonight.
Holy shit.
All right, a couple of things.
Unruh is killing
it, ladies
and
gentlemen. I was in sixth grade. It sounds bad, but when you're in sixth grade, you don't realize that. You just see a pack of kids, and you see a pile of
rocks. Yeah, yeah.
Like, I'm going to throw a rock.
Kids
throw rocks. Kids who don't own cats.
Sam
throw
was a
rocks.
Kid who was getting hit by rocks. I can tell.
He
I was
got the hit kid. In the headbutt with.
No,
the
kid was named
ball,
Sam
like
Brendehoft.
Yeah, no joke.
And that child was me. And
that's
that boy
why we
was me.
You on tonight.
Son of
I
a bitch, that was you.
I called you on to apologize.
I
didn't know what I was doing.
Problems because of that. It's like in that. Thing.
I'm a cat person because of you.
It's like in Billy Madison when he calls up Steve Buscemi and apologizes for bullying him.
I gotta find that kid, man.
He crosses him off.
I gotta
the
look
list
that kid up. I don't
kill.
Even know who it was.
He's like, oh.
I gotta look him up.
It's really great to hear from you, Billy.
I wrote that down actually in my notebook to try to tell a joke about it, but it is like a. Because the only thing I remember is thinking, I'm gonna throw a rock at those kids. to show off to my friends, apparently.
As a sixth grader.
As a sixth grader would, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And the next thing I remember is thinking, oh shit, that's gonna hit that kid. Like, being immediately terrified before. And it beamed him in the head, and he just, like, scratched his head and kept walking. Like, he barely felt like something hit him in the head.
So at least it wasn't a strong
kid. He's a kid, man. Will's not gonna remember anything until he's, like, in second grade. That's kids. They have a... It's totally erasable. It's like they're viewing their browser on private mode at all times.
Or,
until
yeah,
they're like
cell phone
seven.
Texts.
Yeah,
just delete themselves
they don't,
after a
they
little
They have
while.
Nothing.
So you could totally throw a rock at your son and it would
Yeah, I could do a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
Like just punch him in the face, you know. Punch his mom. Punch his roommates.
Yeah.
Just start punching stuff.
Hey, if you punch me... I'll kick your ass in such a way that it'll
my
be
dad lived naked
into...
until I was four. I don't remember any of it, but my mom has pictures. He just walked around naked all the time. Like, I could do anything. He won't remember.
It's yeah. good. It's good.
I could do anything.
Oh, Mr.
Dad had
Andrew.
7 DUIs from the age 1 to 3. I don't remember any of it. He really cleaned his act
Neither
up.
Does
yeah, dad. My dad did some crazy shit in the
early
era thing.
That's, I think for every dad, you're kind of like counting down that clock. When will he start to
you're
remember
like, oh
stuff?
Shit, I gotta get it in now.
I got 2 hours to do podcasts, or I got 2 years to do podcasts.
It's like, I'm still
house.
Young, I can
before
be.
Before he remembers
you know,
it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, all I remember is, is gonna hit him in the head. Boom, hit him in the head. He scratched his head and kept walking. That was it for me. I was like, oh, I got off the hook. It didn't hurt him.
Right.
He's not bleeding out of the skull, whatever.
Or it did and he was afraid if he turned around, you were
it
like,
may
there,
have.
Really
there were more rocks on their way.
Exactly. It was like, as long as I
no,
don't acknowledge
I think
it.
After the stress it caused me as a young child, it's like one of my earliest memories. I'd throw another rock at him if I saw him today. Just for the stress it's causing as an adult. Like,
how old
was
that guy
kid.
Now?
I don't know. I was in sixth. He was in, like, kindergarten or younger.
Beth, how old are they in
yeah.
kindergarten?
What's the age range between 1 and 6?
5 or 6.
Grades. Grade
5 years. It's just 5 years.
Wow.
So okay. He'd be like 26, 25, 26.
Okay.
Your age. I hit you in the head. That's
no,
how
I wasn't
in Kansas.
I think that might have been me, actually.
I wasn't
I'm really
Kansas.
Thinking that might have been me.
In Kansas. So the next memory is... his daycare lady charging at my group of sixth grade students walking back to the elementary. So she'd seen the whole thing from her kitchen window. She'd seen me pick
That's
up a rock, chuck it, being
life.
One of her kids. No, it's some little prick kid throwing a rock and hitting Will in the head. And our daycare lady, she'd go fight that little bastard sixth yeah. grader. That's how I felt. I was like, I'm a piece of shit. I just hit a kid with a rock.
Destroy me.
Yeah.
Oh, the moments when someone comes along and gently points out that you're a piece of shit.
You know? It was my first realization.
Like,
I'm a
like,
piece of shit.
Oh,
I really
fuck.
Am, right?
Yeah.
So God. We were walking back from the art building to our grade school. And my sixth grade teacher is coming to make the exchange of this group of sixth graders. And the lady comes, yells at me in front of the teacher, tells this teacher tells this teacher. Walking back to the grade school with my teacher, and he's like, we're going right to the principal. And I was like, no, you can't tell. My parents beat me. Like, I'm making up every story. So I learned very quickly, I'm a piece of shit.
And a pathological liar.
Yeah.
I will make any story up.
And in the heat of the moment, I will just start lying my fucking ass off. Oh, that's a great oopsie daisy.
Yeah,
that's a good one.
And so, yeah. Now I do comedy.
Yeah, well, like, because my oopsie daisy.
I bet that kid does too. He's
and
fucked
I,
up now.
I don't know
I
what
never,
he's doing. He's
I never thought about
straw.
It. And this never made it when I told it as a joke.
It wasn't
but then
a
as
big
I was
rock.
Thinking about how to
it sailed.
Close out my story, I was like, you know, and I don't really know if there's like a moral to the story of the oopsie daisy, my oopsie daisy, except maybe
there's
like
no moral.
Drink
it's
less
story.
And don't have
curry lunch,
right
yeah.
after. But I was like, but you know, just know that now, every time I'm about to fart, I feel like it's a potent one. I sort of do like a little mental audit just in case.
I think 26 any likelihood is the age you learn that.
Just in case. Well, I learned this when I was 24. 24 is when the pants.
So you were ahead of the curve.
So it's like, yeah. So like for the past 2 years now, every time I like feel like farts, a really right. big fart, I'm like, do I want to wait on this one? Like, should I just hold this in and get to a restroom just in case?
All right. Before we have to wrap up, I want to talk about comics, comic strips, the art of comedy, and cartoons a little bit. Because you just posted a three-panel killer.
It's pretty good. It's pretty good. It's pretty good.
It has a robot with glowing eyes.
Yeah.
I don't want to spoil it.
You can find it on either my Facebook or the Mystagog Holland Show page. On Facebook, and
but you guys are both into the comic strip,
one panel comic as well earlier, and that one had a lot more words, and it was about a police officer who was getting fired because he kept improvising weapons.
It's too edgy.
I write pretty dark comics. Robots. I write pretty dark comics. You just spoiled it.
Robots having cats.
Having cats. Yeah, well, I mean, Sam, because you said that you don't read them regularly, but...
Yeah, I'm not huge into them, but I appreciate the format. Them. Yeah, definitely.
You're into one now that you asked Nick about.
Yeah.
You guys nerded out on me while I was trying to watch a basketball game.
Yeah, and even Beth joined in. She was like, I know all about him, too. And I was like, and you just got this forlorn look on your face.
What Kevin Durant averaged last year, assist-wise.
Be like, nobody cares, Jocko.
Yeah, I know that information.
But don't you have some rocks to throw, you brute?
You monster!
So again, describe this comic. So what's it called?
It's called Wasteland.
Wasteland.
It's written by Del Close and John Ostrander, I think that's his name.
If you're curious, Beth and I were familiar with Del Close.
Yeah,
he's the father of improv. He taught Bill Murray and John Buscemi and a lot of improvers. He kind of set up a lot of it in Chicago. He also invented the psychedelic light show. He was important to Second City, and then he developed The Herald. It's the most popular improv long-form type thing.
Gotcha.
He also invented the psychedelic light show while he was working with a band called The Warlocks in San Francisco, who would change their name to The Grateful Dead later on. So Del Close is an interesting guy.
Have you heard of Dave Matthews Band? Some would say they're like the next... So just
are they the one that goes?
We know. I think that's Pearl Jam. It's the one you're thinking.
Okay, I like Pearl Jam a lot.
We'll play some Dave for the intro.
Okay, cool. For both, all of them.
Yeah, it's gonna be all Dave.
Just the whole way through.
Just for Sam.
I don't know if the licensing. Can you afford the licensing fees?
No one's caught us yet.
We just.
It's gonna be shut down way before anybody.
Yeah.
We made it up to number 21 one time in, like, a specific region. I think there was, like, 25 podcasts entered. We were 21. Mm-hmm.
Damn. Same.
I don't mean to brag, really.
No, I know you're not a boastful person.
But, yeah.
This kind of thing, yeah.
But not to be conceited at all, but we rocked the pants off of this format. Wasteland.
Right, yes.
You're saying it's kind of Twilight Zone-esque?
Yeah, so it's like a... They're just a bunch of little shorts... And they're just, like, a little bit more twisted and dark, but very similar to Twilight Zone, where it's just, it's a character, and they're just in some sort of weird situation or something odd about them. What was my favorite? My favorite one that I read was, it starts out, and it just looks and seems like the most cliched, like, cop duo story. It's two cops, they're sitting in their car, they see this guy that they've busted for pickpocketing before breaking into like a jewelry store, and they go out to try and arrest him, and he pulls a gun out and tries to shoot them both. He misses, and one of them shoots him dead, or like he shoots him. He's like starting to bleed out on the ground. And they're like freaking out, like, "Well, we've busted that guy before. He's virtually harmless. He's never had a gun before." And just before the guy bleeds out and dies, he says, "I'm saved. Like, thank God." And just before he dies, he basically mumbles something about, like, after midnight, only sinners will be left on Earth. It's like, yeah, Armageddon kind of thing.
Oh, damn.
And,
oh, damn.
Yeah, and so the two cops are like...
That's the first reaction, like, it was like I was watching a game. Like, that's what I do when somebody's done. I'm like, oh, damn, he dunks.
That's what I do when I'm watching The Twilight Zone. Or apparently here in Rico.
Oh, shit. Oh,
damn, she's actually pretty.
That's a plot twist.
Oh, motherfuck.
Yeah.
What?
So
oh, word!
He's about to get, he's like, oh shit, son!
Word. Yeah, and so the two cops kind of start talking to each other, and right before they're about to like kind of go home, one of them has a heart attack and dies, and the guy who's left is like, ooh.
I suck, don't I?
Yeah, what if there's something to this? And he kind of, like... Basically, he just starts wandering around the city saving people by, like, yeah, he just blows their brains out. Like, super dark. He goes into this, like, subway station. He sees, like, some guy forcing this lady to, like, blow him with, like, a knife. And she's just, like, mumbles something like, please save me, help me. And he just goes, go with God, and just blows her brains out.
Her brains?
Yeah, hers. And then...
the crazy guy live?
Oh, no.
Well, that way he has to... go through the rapture.
And right? Well, no, here's the best part is
he kills good people just before midnight
when only sinners are supposed to be left, he jumps in front of a subway and then he wakes up in a hospital and his arms and legs have been removed, so he has no power to possibly take his life anymore and he's stuck there. It's so good.
I like that.
Yeah.
So you like weird comics then?
Sure.
Specifically
yeah.
weird. Okay, I actually, this is a question for everybody in the room. So, because we were talking about the funny pages and how that's kind of the thing that as print journalism is dying, and you know, the funny pages, they still exist, but they're getting smaller and smaller.
Yeah.
I remember like the whole section on Sundays and it'd be in full color and so you'd read through.
Full
and
color.
Then there'd be like some fucking ones like Prince Valiant. And shit, which I was like, huh, this is really weird. This doesn't make any sense right next to Hagar the Horrible.
Yeah.
I mean, I get the
chronology,
but it just doesn't make any sense. But so what was all of your guys' like favorite printed comic strip from childhood?
Definitely Far Side, and oddly enough, well, actually not that odd because I'm a cat person, Garfield. Pretty into Garfield.
Hates Mondays.
Hates Mondays. Loves lasagna.
Yeah.
Fucking Odie.
You know, I don't think I had a favorite as a like a small kid.
Calvin and Hobbes, of course, as well.
I do remember. I barely remember Calvin and Hobbes, and they're still making it.
When they were just in the strips, yeah, it's hard to remember that. Like you got the books.
Oh
yeah, the books were awesome. But
yeah,
I'm talking about seeing it in the newspaper.
Yeah.
Right. I'm trying to think about
they're producing it weekly, or maybe it might have been still like just rerunning.
Well, and
strips.
Yeah, some of it would be syndicated, and so they just rerun. Like I'm
because they were that good.
I'm convinced
somebody drew
that we weren't keeping up with. Dagwood in real time.
Yeah.
You know,
some people made five panels of cartoons that were so good they could reprint it. People
that guy's name
like...
is Bill Watterson, and he's a. There's actually a great documentary about him on Netflix, and they never get to interview him or anything.
Yeah,
because the
like
guy's such a recluse.
Yeah.
He's still alive and everything, but he. That's why Calvin is pissing on so many things, is because he refused to merchandise or brand anything Calvin and Hobbes ever. And so there's like an unregulated market of knockoffs. But it was just because he was like, this should only exist in comic strip form.
Mm-hmm.
This is why I created it. It's how it's supposed to be. So just read the comic strips. So he refused all like... People were pitching movies
it's
and cartoons
interesting
at them and
words
everything.
To use for like to read them because sometimes there's no words, but you're still reading it.
Well, because it's like you're going left to right. I mean, it's like this, so that you know that, like for instance, if you read like
you're looking
a
at
Japanese
every line,
comic
every...
book, like a manga,
right to left.
It's backwards.
Yep.
And so, like, the front thing is, and it's, like, it's backwards, and it always takes me, whenever I read one, it always takes me a weird minute or two to remember. I remember that you start at the back, what we convention. But then I'm always like, which panel do I start at? Oh, shit.
Top right and go down.
Top right, some of them, and to the left, and then. Or, so well, the Bible it's like, was written. Comics originally. Can have like a visual
right?
flow.
Yeah. Right?
Yep.
But you guys are the Bible experts.
Yeah. Just confirming my facts with
the other
wizards
resident
of Oz.
Bible.
Oz's.
Oh, okay, thanks.
I've said enough dumb things that have been automatically corrected. Like, did you just say unicorns are purple?
You disgust me.
Pink, you idiot.
Douchebag. No, they're seriously. White. yeah, well, I think, honestly, Calvin and Hobbes is probably on all of our lists.
Of
is
course,
is that safe
yeah.
to... I mean, that shit was just...
I hope Farside is as well. Stephen Wright and Farside seem so similar to me.
Farside,
they're just different forms.
Farside was definitely on my list. I went through this weird big phase where I did. It was funny actually, is my dad would buy me
Who
the Farside books. Gary
Larson.
Larson.
Yeah.
Larson, that's right.
And my dad
did
loved Farside.
Else?
I don't think
that.
So. But
it's incredible. It's like Shel Silverstein. It's like they did.
Well, this... Shel Silverstein though, he did a lot of other.
A lot
stuff.
Of books,
yeah.
right?
A lot of books. He wrote a lot of cartoons for Playboy.
Some music
he actually
as
wrote
well.
The lyrics to A Boy Named Sue. As popularized by Johnny Cash.
Mm-hmm.
He and
Did
his
really?
Brother wrote
yes.
that song. His
I'm
brother
look
wrote
up.
The music.
Look
he,
up.
He also
by
has this like, kind of folk rock listeners. Song that I have on a Dr. Demento like compilation album.
I'm trying to look it up now.
That's,
He's looking for his phone.
It's okay. called The Smoke Off.
I wasn't. Did you want me to look it up now?
And it's about a marijuana smoking competition.
Shel Silverstein was a weird dude.
Yeah, he was a weird
But he wrote
guy.
Wonderful children's books amongst everything else that he did.
Oh, The Giving Tree is great.
Oh, my God.
It's a good show.
Where the Sidewalk Ends, too.
Oh, yeah,
that
dude.
One was really good. I mean, you guys got to just get Will a comprehensive collection.
Oh, yeah.
All
but a lot of his pictures are a little more racy.
They're a little...
Yeah. Hey. Like, you can't see that
hey.
Shit. Hey.
It's like that book with the dancing naked men around. It's like a famous painting. And when Will was first, like, really young, we used to try to read him books, you know? And there was this. Now it's like, just watch TV, dude.
Just sit down. Just.
I bought him a book.
Parent, guys.
I bought him
sit
a book.
Sit down. I'll write a book.
Well, it's like, it'll be a, you know, in a little while. The books will come around and you guys will have
Well, you
nice
realize how stupid this
catalog.
Is because he can't remember anything.
No,
like,
yeah.
He doesn't know he doesn't know anything.
Hey, I got
when
him...
When he talks, I'll read him a book.
I got him Danny the Dinosaur because I remembered that one vividly from my childhood. Not even sure where it is. Like,
I remember Mother Goose vividly.
Oh, Mother Goose.
I had
okay.
some of that too, yeah. I had a lot of Berenstain Bears.
Berenstain Bears.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Well, that's kind of
So
the
you
thing.
Say Baron. What'd you say?
Berenstain.
Bern.
It's probably that.
I
think
say
my
Berenstain.
Mom... Oh, do you?
Oh. Berenstain.
Okay,
see,
I think that might be like a
that
Kansas,
could be,
Missouri
That
thing.
Could be the one.
Midwest.
My parents, yeah, my parents
Baron.
Are both.
See, my parents, this was on the East Coast. And so it's like, you know, my mom from Philly. Well, she's gonna like stop to go Baron.
Right, so say Serrano Pepper.
Serrano Pepper.
Serrano. He says Bernstein, like just butchers it down, but Serrano. Like he says
well,
every
I also grew up in Longmont.
Mexican.
I learned a great deal of things about peppers. Okay.
So you're saying you learned a lot of, a great deal about Enyas, the little squiggly mark above ends. That's
yeah. yeah.
Other
I thought
Longmont.
That was Tilbos.
It doesn't have to do with a pepper.
No, said. No, it's, I mean, I know way more about Mexican cooking than I do any of the other aspects of their culture.
Obviously, because the Bernsteins eat soup.
Just fucking soup.
But the Bernsteins
What a bunch of
boring-ass
bears. They must have, they must have. Porridge?
More sophisticated form of soup is porridge.
All right, Midwest. All right, you guys
true.
On your
porridge like
Midwestern.
Poor people shit. Like them boars, them bears are
porridge
so poor.
Is what Red Riding Hood robbed the
those
bears
poor,
of.
Those poor
porridge.
Bears.
But is it a poor food or a rich food?
Like, was he stealing from porridge? My dad made porridge. It was so generally cream porridge. Of wheat.
I don't think I've ever had porridge.
Red Ralston.
Hey, whip up some porridge. Did you have porridge? It's not a German thing.
Yeah, that's the thing. Is like, what exactly is porridge? Like, it's some sort of hot cereal kind of thing.
It's cream of wheat. It's cream of wheat. You can just put anything in it.
I think it's World War I nourishment.
It's just, yeah.
It's like just bags of nourishment.
Well, have you guys ever had...
porridge.
Have you guys ever had cream of wheat?
This is the poor age. Eat your fucking mush. Out of the bag.
I'm pretty sure that after they decided they wanted to remove the word poor from it, they called it cream of wheat. And it's just like food matter type substance. It's like, yes, I'm getting nutrients
like,
from this.
It's like,
and it's like, astronaut, you can make it taste like a bunch of different things.
Or like,
hey, if you want it to like taste sweet, put some brown sugar in it. If you want it to taste spicy, put some hot
porridge.
Sauce in it.
Yeah, that's what reminds that's a porridge. It's kind of
like if you close your eyes, slop. It's like runny eggs.
Yeah. Slop. It's sort of just a generic slop. It's,
yeah.
It's food matter type stuff.
Yeah.
Yep.
You know? It's like, hey, it's important that you eat. One of my buddies drinks, he's replaced for the most part, breakfast and dinner with it, and it's called Soylent. And not Soylent Green, so it's not just made of people, but it's this meal replacement thing. And you just make it into a shake, and it barely tastes like anything. And it provides you with, like...
energy.
Energy and like a greater balance of nutrients than honestly, like, unless you prepared a meal for, and he swears by it. And
does he poop? What's his poop like?
He said it doesn't change his poop at all.
So he still has big, solid poops?
He has solid.
Have you heard the idea that we could literally eat the exact amount of nutrients and not poop at all? Have you heard that theory?
Yeah, if you have a perfect
I've heard that.
Diet
it's
or whatever.
The, well, it's that if, and he does, he still eats food for lunch. Like, every day.
Shake in the morning. And Slim Fast. So that's what he's had.
No, it's like, it's not a, because it's actually, it has
shake
a,
in the morning,
it
shake
has a
in the
good
evening.
Carbo load type thing.
Yeah, Slim Fast is way different.
Because he's actually, he's like a pretty fit, bigger dude. And, but he swears by it. He has a lot of, like, protein shakes, too, to, like, supplement, you know.
All right. All I'm saying is I worked in a gym for about a year and a half. So everybody swears by their thing.
Right.
Like, no, dude.
Especially shakes, though.
You gotta do this. All right. Here's what you
shakes.
Do.
Shakes. Oh, eat, yeah. I just want food matter
you get
type
Taco
food.
John breakfast. you get chicken breast for lunch. And then high protein shake for dinner. But you have to lift weights and work out the entire day. And you'll be as ripped as me. And I'm like, oh, that sounds like a great plan.
It sounds pretty good.
No
sounds
ambitions
like an
for
enjoyable time.
High five, bro!
Then you get really drunk at night. You bang, like, as many skanks as you can. Do it over.
You'll be ripped. Repeat.
Every three mornings, you just douse your dick in a mixture that's half bleach.
Protein drink.
Half
bleach.
Half hydrogen peroxide. And half protein shake.
Good to go, bro. Not
good to go. It's all right. Not it's all right. Yeah.
I have words for
just
it.
Cycling through.
Cycling through.
Oh, man.
Sam, what are your final thoughts?
On the podcast?
No,
I mean,
furniture.
No, like, we're going to kill
furniture.
You, maybe.
On
after.
Because
oh,
we started
or,
with
yeah.
the let's talk about
it. Oh, oh, oh. Final thoughts for right? life, man. I wish
about
I had
furniture.
Prepared. Yeah.
Life furniture.
Well, this is pretty solid furniture. I enjoy this.
I'll sell
comfy,
it to you
comfy
right
seat.
Now. I'll sell you all of
as
our
as soon
furniture.
As I have a home, I will let
have
you know.
A specific dollar amount.
What is the moral of the story? If you have one thing to share with our Ghost Pee listeners...
Don't kiss her on the nose.
Don't kiss her on the nose.
Send us your whoopsie daisy moments.
Yeah, that'd be fun.
Mm-hmm.
It's email address is beerbanter at gmail.com, I believe.
I think so.
That sounds something right. Like
that. Do not contact us in any way.
Oh,
that's
and
what we're saying.
And Sam, one last thing I want to tell you before we sign off on this. Is that you own this long tan jacket, and for the longest time, I thought of you and referred to you as Inspector Gadget.
Yep, I've gotten that before.
Did you imagine yourself as?
When you bought it, were you like, I'm going to draw a lot
that.
Of Inspector Gadget?
I watched Inspector Gadget as a kid. I loved Inspector Gadget.
Wasn't that into it?
I see you some of the times, and the theme song starts going off in my head.
I didn't initially think of that.
He was funny too,
but I was super proud of myself because when someone naturally first made that quip to me off the top of my head, I went, "Yeah, you want to see one of my gadgets? Go fuck yourself!" And then I walked off, and I was super proud. Felt good about that. Yeah,
that's pretty good. No, I had to get that off my chest.
Oh, that's understandable.
A lot of times I
still
just
have that.
When I refer to you, a lot of times I'm just like,
you know,
Inspector Gadget out there tonight?
Yeah.
Because once I was driving along and you were walking north on Shields and I was on my lunch break with no shit in my pants. Mm. And I was like, who's got that tin? It was before we knew each other really at all. And I was just like, I've seen that guy before.
Well,
yeah.
That was a great back-to-back Friday night Ghosty episodes.
I like them on Friday.
41, 42, just knocking out of the park.
Boom, boom. 42 is Jackie Robinson's number.
42. In honor. MLK, February, January, whatever.
Thanks, Seth.
Yeah, thank you.
Thanks for having me, buddy.
Of course.